Stand with me, if you will, for the reading of the Word tonight. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 13 tonight for just a little while in the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 13. Let me share with you tonight just a little message that I have on my heart. Pastor said I had to get on the horse tonight because Ken Andrews preached heaven down in this place this morning. Amen. I just told him I'd do the best I could with what I have to work with. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 13. If you're there, shout amen. Amen. Let's look at verse 14, if you will. The Bible said that Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window." And he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." Then he said, "Take the arrows." So he took them. And Elisha said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will only strike Syria three times." I want to share with you tonight just a little message entitled, "Missed Opportunities for Victory." Missed opportunities for victory. I don't want to leave here tonight feeling like I missed an opportunity for victory. I want to leave here knowing that I gave God every opportunity to touch my life and to move in the power of His Spirit. I'm convinced something's going to happen in this place tonight. Somebody that has missed opportunities, tonight you're going to seize the opportunity God's given you. God's going to move in this house. God's going to move in this house. Father, for the next few minutes, would you let the anointing of your Spirit rest upon our lives together. Touch us in the power of your Spirit. It's not in the ability of man. It's only by the anointing of your Spirit. So I pray tonight, Father, that you'll touch us and equip us. Give us ears to hear, mind to receive, heart broken up like fallow ground tonight, Father, to receive the seed of your Word. For everything you do, God, I give you praise. I'll give you glory. I'll give you honor. And God, I just thank you for what you're doing and for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and tell them, get ready for the Word tonight. I think one of the things that trouble all of us from time to time is to look back over our lives, even in ministry, and see missed opportunities. More than any of us want to admit, we have a haunting memory of missed opportunities. Times when we came to church, camp meeting, and for some reason missed the moment of opportunity in that service to be touched, blessed, healed, empowered, strengthened, lifted up, encouraged, in the presence of God. You see, missed opportunities are forever lost in the eternity of time. They cannot be recalled and brought back. They cannot be experienced. That moment of time is forever lost. I understand that we all are in church, and by that I mean that we attend what we call a worship service, where so often we carry out our routine. We go through our formalities. We have our mechanics. We go through that in our Sunday church. Most people come and sit in the same seat they sat in last week. Most people come to church and know where everybody sits, so they don't dare to get in that person's seat. Some come early enough to get in their parking place because they parked in that same place for so many years. They know it's that place, so they know they belong there, and they just get there early enough to get in it. You see, too often, our worship services, all we do is carry out a good routine and formality and mechanics. But then there are services that we experience what I call God moments. God moments are seasons and times beyond the knowledge of man that God reveals an extraordinary, supernatural manifestation of His glory and of His power. The choir, the praise team, they didn't sing it down. The drama team did not perform it down. The preacher or evangelist did not preach it down. But for some unknown reason to our human thinking or even our ability to understand, God just stepped in and revealed His glory and His power. I need you to understand it is in those seasons and times that we cannot allow anything or anybody to cause us to miss the opportunity that God has created for weak, struggling, sinful humanity to be touched by the hands of a holy and a mighty and an awesome God. We cannot afford to miss those opportunities. You need to understand to miss opportunities is to miss out on what God can do. Too many times, opportunities are missed because we represent a God that used to move, and a God that used to touch, and a God that used to do miracles, and a God that used to give revival. You see, too often we represent a God of more of a used to. We talk about what God has done. Some of you could testify about moves of God that you have been in. But I didn't come here to talk about what has been. I came here tonight to talk about what is and what can be and what the God of heaven is able to do in this house, in your heart, and in your life tonight. I didn't come to preach a used to God. I came to preach the God that is ever present, ever living, more than able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think of, according to the power that works on the inside of you. I've come to declare to you tonight that heaven isn't bankrupt and God's not gone on vacation, but this weekend camp meeting, I believe God's going to manifest His glory and His power in this house, and somebody's going to seize the moment of opportunity and see the power of God work in this hour. You have to understand, if I came here tonight, if I preached to God that cannot move in the impossible, then I might as well preach no God at all. You understand tonight, I believe He's still a God of the impossible. You see, I didn't come here to preach a God that cannot move. I came here to preach a God that is more than able, amen, to touch in the ever-present need that you walked into this building in. If I preach a God that cannot move in the impossible, I just preach a God that is not able to touch in your need. You see, if I don't preach a God that can move in the impossible, I might as well as get me a little Buddha statue. Anybody ever seen Buddha? You know what I'm talking about? If you go eat Chinese food, a lot of times they'll have a little statue of Buddha or a big statue of Buddha. He's the one with the bald head and the big shining belly. Anybody know who I'm talking about? You see, if I preach a God that cannot move in the impossible, I just might as well have me a Buddha and get up every morning and rub his little bald head or his big belly. And before I go to bed at night, rub his bald head or his big belly and just trust in Buddha. You see, I believe that God is more than a Buddha tonight. I believe he's a God that walked into this building and he's able to move in the impossible places of your life. Amen. I don't know about you. I've never preached here before, so you're going to look me over. But while you're looking me over, I'm looking you over. Amen. I don't know about you, but I need a God who can move in the impossible. I need a God who can save. I need a God that can deliver. I need a God that can heal. I need a God that can make a way where there seems to be no way. I need a God that can make provision in the time of need. I need a God that can move in the impossible, and I can see the situation change in a moment by the touch of the power of God. Is anybody in this house? Hallelujah. You listen to me. I'm not talking about some weak, anemic, diseased, confused God that is clueless about my situation or your situation in life. I'm talking about Jehovah God. I'm not talking about just any God. I'm talking about the God of heaven, the creator of all things, stretched out the heavens like a curtain, hangs the stars out on nothing, and calls them by their name. I'm talking about the God that scooped out the valleys and formed the mountains and set the boundaries to the oceans. Amen. I'm talking about Jehovah God. Does anybody know him tonight? Has he ever moved for you? Has he ever made a way for you? Has anybody know Jehovah God? I'm talking about Jehovah Olam, the everlasting God, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, Jehovah Shaddai, the all-sufficient and all-powerful one, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, Jehovah Elyon, the Lord Most High, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. You see, I'm not here tonight to preach to you of some God. I'm here to preach to you that Jehovah God is in this house tonight to move in the impossible of your life. You see, we cannot forget Genesis chapter 18 and verse 14, where the Lord asked the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? We cannot forget Jeremiah 32, 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. We cannot forget Matthew 19 and 26. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. We cannot forget Mark 10, 27. With men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. We cannot forget Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think of, according to the power that works on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody that knows something about this God? If you know it, somebody lift your hand and shout hallelujah in this place tonight. Oh, I feel him. Somebody give the Lord a praise in this place tonight. Come on. You see, in such times that we live, individuals, churches cannot afford to experience missed opportunities. You can't afford another Sunday to miss an opportunity for God to move. Oh, I'm going to feel at home here in a minute, and you're going to be in trouble. When you've been at a place 16 years, it don't take you long to feel at home. You see, you can't afford another camp meeting. You don't need another hotshot evangelist to come whipping in here and preach you his five red hots. What you need to understand is that when the children of God get together and praises go up, glory comes down. You need to understand when you get to church, you don't need to be worried about where Sister Flip-Flop is. Help me, Jesus. I'm about to feel at home now. You don't need to be worried. I hope there ain't no Henrys, but where Uncle Henry is tonight, or who isn't, or who is, or why aren't they in the house of God tonight? You see, we've come to church so much and become so adjusted to the surroundings of where we are. Oftentimes, God could walk down the middle aisle and we'd never know he was in the house. I've just come by to tell you we're in a late hour. I've come by to tell you God is on the move. I come by to tell somebody we cannot afford, and this church cannot afford, and you cannot afford to go through services and miss opportunities of what God's doing in this hour. I just want to stop right here long enough to tell somebody this is your opportunity tonight. I want to stop right here and tell somebody you don't have to leave the way you've been coming into church, amen, anymore. I just want to tell you there is an open heaven, and there's an opportunity for somebody to walk out of here different than you walk in. Oh, I feel him in this house, amen. I want to declare tonight what the devil's been telling you ain't nothing but a lie anyway, and you need to stop listening to the lying thief of who he is and understand God has done nothing but set you up. He's done nothing but put you in an opportunity, amen. Tonight's your night. This camp meeting is your camp meeting, amen. You don't have to wait for the next one to get here. If you don't like me, there'll be another preacher tomorrow night, amen. Maybe you'll like him a little better. I've just come by to tell somebody I don't want to miss any more opportunities. But when God stirs it, and when the shaking of the mulberry trees begin to happen, and God begins to move, I want to shake myself loose from where I am and say, God, I'm not going to miss this opportunity. I've said and missed some, but not tonight. This is my night. This is my camp meeting. This is my service. I'm going to get my joy. I'm going to get my victory. I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my peace. I'm going to get the fire of God on the inside of me. My God, somebody praise him in this house. Second Kings 13, verses 14 through 19 is the story of missed opportunities. Joash had the opportunity to finally defeat the enemy. Enemies, listen to me, that he would never have to deal with again. No, you didn't get that. No, you didn't get that. I said Joash had the opportunity to defeat an enemy that he would never, never have to deal with again. You know, sometimes I think we like our enemies. Oh, I'm about to feel at home. I said, I think sometimes we like our enemies. We like them so much we'll fix them breakfast. Mully grub around. Have a little lunch with them. Woo. Have dinner with them. Have about an 8 or 9 o'clock snack with them, or a 10 o'clock snack. Go to bed. Get up and enjoy our enemy the next day. Oh, it's quiet in this house. You see, I think too many church people just think they have to live where they're living. And the enemies they've been dealing with will just always be. Because, my Lord, it hadn't been any different for a long time. What makes me think it's going to be different now? Is anybody in this house? Joash had an opportunity to defeat an enemy that he'd never have to deal with again. I'm convinced God's ready to give some people such a move of His glory and power and defeat some enemies in our life that we'll never have to deal with them again. Huh? Some people has compassed their mountain long enough. They've just looked at it. They've looked at their victory, but they haven't walked in it. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. They've looked at the power of God, but they haven't experienced what God can do in their life. Oh, help me, Jesus. They've looked and seen other people get miracles, but them themselves just seem to struggle as if they can never have the miracle that they really need in their life. So they just become used to the enemy. They just become to the place they just learn to live with the enemy. Can I serve notice on some enemies in this house? Huh? Can I just go ahead and declare in this house that there's some enemies tonight that is about to be defeated? That after tonight, oh, somebody said, you're getting brave. You're not going to have to deal with them anymore. Oh, come on. I know the devil attacks us, but I'm here to tell you, I believe there's a place in God we can get. And I believe there's some victories we can experience that we don't have to deal with the same old enemies over and over and over and over and over. But God says tonight is your opportunity. Tonight you've stepped in the right place. You're at the right time. The presence of the Lord is in the house. God knows what you're dealing with. Tonight's your night for enemies to be defeated that you will never, 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 somebody said that's big. Oh, it's getting bigger. Never have to deal with. Oh, I don't know about you, but I like that. I said I like that. Let me give you three short things and I'll be finished tonight. Number one, let's look at a golden opportunity. Joash weeps over Elisha. The Bible said that Elisha is on his deathbed. And Joash goes down and weeps over the prophet of God. But he uses a statement that Elisha used, had seen in his prophetic ministry. He used the statement, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. You see, Elisha was very familiar with this statement that Joash used because he himself used it when Elijah was caught up in the chariot of fire, carried away in the presence of God. Elisha was aware of the statement because he used it in 2 Kings chapter 6 when the servant became overwhelmed by the Syrian army that surrounded them. And he went in and told the prophet Elisha, you better take a look outside, for everywhere I've seen and everywhere I've looked, There's chariots and there's soldiers, and they're ready to come and devour us. But the prophet looked at the servant and said, I need you to go look one more time. And he said, God, open his eyes. And when the servant went back out and looked, he seen chariots of fire. He seen angels, warrior angels, who had come to protect them. And Elisha screamed out and proclaimed, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Hallelujah. You see, this statement reminded the prophet over ancient experience of where the army of heaven came and victory had been won. Can I tell you tonight that whether seen or unseen, visible or invisible, how many times has God come in the middle of your battle, in the middle of your situation, in the middle of your circumstance, and brought victory? How many times has God been there? And when you could not have made it, it was God that showed up just in time for you to know that he's a way maker where there seems to be no way. Somebody in this house ought to shout hallelujah. Oh God, I feel him. You see, this would seem a little strange that Joash would use this statement, being a king who done evil in the sight of the Lord. But Joash, listen, Joash used this statement because he recognized the important role that Elisha played in the defense of Israel. He recognized that the strength of Israel was not in chariots and horses, but it was in the power of God displayed through his prophet. Oh, help me, Jesus. You see, what would cause Joash to use such a statement? First of all, I need you to notice he used that statement because he was a desperate king fighting a battle that he could not win. Are you hearing me? I said he's a desperate king fighting a battle he could not win. You see, Jehoash had left Joash with only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and 10,000 foot soldiers. And they're facing an army of Syria that had come to devour and destroy them. Joash recognized that God had used Elisha mightily in Israel, and he knew that it was only God who would get them through. You need to hear me right here. Desperation caused him to go to the source of help. Did you hear what I just said? Desperation caused him to go to the source of help. Let me ask you a question. Who do desperate people come to in the times of desperation? Where do they run when they're in a desperate situation? I want to tell you where they go. They find a place where God is moving. You hear me? They find a place where someone can touch God for their need. It astounds me. I've been at Christ Fellowship. We planted the church, been there 16 years. But over the years, we've had a ton of people come through. I was just a little bit too wild for some of them, and they had to go find something a little less than me. Amen. They don't like Pentecostal worship. But it amazed me that the same people that left our church because of the move of the Spirit and the emotional work of the Holy Ghost in the hearts and lives, when they get in trouble, do you know who they call? They call the church. They call Christ Fellowship. Not too long ago, I had a lady call. I mean, she called the house. I knew she was desperate when she called the house. She left a voicemail on the answer machine, and she said, Pastor Danny and Sister Katrina, this is so-and-so. And my boys, I need you to call me. I got trouble with my boys. She didn't bring them boys to church. I wonder why she had trouble with them. Amen. I'm telling you, she said they're seeing strange things, and there's things appearing in their bedroom, and weird stuff is happening. And she said, I believe in prayer, but she said, I need somebody that knows that God can move to really pray with me. Amen. Now, she wouldn't step foot back in our church, but she needed us to pray. She said, oh, by the way, please call me back and have your church to pray. You know where desperate people go? They don't find some dead church. Oh, I'm not going to pull my coat off, because if I do, I sure enough be at home. I said they'll find some, they won't be looking for some dead church where God used to move. Because when you have a move of God in your church, it gets out. I better stay up here, hadn't I? Huh? I said, when you have a move of God, it gets out. And then when people get desperate, you know what they'll do? They'll call that alabaster church of God down there. Because I heard that they believe in prayer. I heard that pastor preaches the word. I heard that they believe in a God that can move in the impossible. Oh, I prayed for her children. Yes, I did. I prayed God move. I prayed God touch. I prayed God put them in the right church where they could get deliverance. Let me tell you what desperate people's looking for. They're not looking for another mortuary with a church sign out front of what used to be and has been. Oh, I'm feeling better right now. They're looking for somebody that knows how to call on the name of the Lord. When Joash got in trouble, he didn't run to some other king and say, can you help me get out of this trouble? He said, I got to find that prophet that seen God move, that prophet that did twice as many miracles as Elijah. I've got to find that man of God. You see, he went down to his house because he's on a deathbed. He has a sickness unto death. But you see, in a time of desperation, you got to find a man of God. You got to find a church that says, I still know God can bless. I still know God can heal. I still know God can deliver. I still know God can give victory. I still know God can make a way where there seems to be no way. I wonder, am I preaching in the right place tonight? I wonder, is there anybody in this house that knows anything about the power of God? God, have mercy. Woo! They don't need another entertainment center. I might as well go ahead and say it. I may get a book thrown at me right now. They don't need another seeker friendly. Make me feel good. They don't need another theme from the latest movie with a series of dead sermons to follow. Oh, Jesus, I hope you ain't preaching on no movie stuff. I should have asked him what he's been preaching on before I got up here. You know what they need? They need somebody to touch God. You listen to me, we're living in difficult times. And the harder times get, they're going to be looking for a church. It's not just going through the format and motions. Some dead religious institution. They're looking for a church with a power. I'm talking old time power. See, I was born in a fire and smoke won't do. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I know I got two more points. You just hang on. You see, they need somebody that can touch God. But in the midst of despair, God handed Joash the opportunity of a lifetime. He handed him the opportunity to destroy the Syrians once and for all. Elisha instructed Joash to take the bow and some arrows. Watch this. When Joash took the bow and some arrows, the Bible said that Elisha then put his hands momentarily on the hands of the king, Joash. Did you hear what I said? He put his hands on the king's hands, signifying the communication of power from God moving through the prophet of God into Joash to win this great victory. Do you understand the church received a transference of power when on the day of Pentecost? Huh? Do you understand? It's like Jesus who said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send you the power. When that wind began to blow and the fire of the Holy Spirit showed up, it was like Jesus putting his hands on the head of those disciples. And there was a transference of power for the purpose for that 120 to know victory and to know the power of God that is able to move. Luke 24:49, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I want you to understand tonight, this is not some partial communication. No, sir. This isn't some partial move of God. But God empowered the church of the book of Acts, who came out of that upper room accused at 9 o'clock in the morning of being drunk in the Holy Ghost. Huh? Being drunk in wine. But Peter stood up and said, these are not drunken as you are supposed. It's just the third hour of the day. But this is that. God said it was coming and here it is. Do you understand? He didn't send a partial communication. But I want to tell you, he brought life giving power to the church. Somebody shout amen. The touch of God brought life giving power. The blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the lame to walk, the lepers cleansed, the dead raised. You need to hear what I'm about to tell you. We have the touch available in our lives who can move through us and touch people who is hurting, who is desperate, who needs a move of the power of God. We don't need to miss our opportunity. Now watch this. Then the king was told by Elisha. He said, open the window towards Syria. He said, shoot an arrow toward your enemy. Shoot an arrow toward them. When he did this, Elisha explained the action by saying, that arrow you just shot represented victory that God would give to the armies of Israel over Syria at Aphek. In verse 17, the Bible said that Elisha proclaimed the era of the Lord's deliverance and the era of deliverance from Syria. You see, it was a custom in Bible times that in times of war, when they were going to go into a country, they would shoot an arrow toward that country, or they would cast a spear because they had intentions of invading. You see, it was God that put the arrow of deliverance in the hand of Joash. Oh, come on now. Over his enemies. No doubt God has placed arrows of deliverance. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? when I talk about deliverance, huh? Oh, I preached in a lot of church of God, didn't know much about deliverance. Oh, you hear me? Seen a few devils stirred up. They didn't know what to do with them. A lot of folks hit the door. Are you in this house? But you see, I believe God's put arrows of deliverance in our hands. Is anybody in this house? I believe God put arrows in deliverance in our hand, declaring that in your life, the enemy will be defeated. Not just defeated, but consumed. I want you to know what you got in your hand tonight is arrows of deliverance. Somebody has in your hand your arrow of deliverance against your enemy. Tonight is your night of victory. Somebody shout amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Let's look at the second thing. Not only a golden opportunity, but I want you to look at a lost opportunity. After shooting the first arrow, Elisha now wanted Joash to take the remaining arrows and strike the ground. Most believe, and many Bible scholars write, that this strike in the ground is more than just tapping the floor with the arrows. Most Bible scholars believe that Joash was to take the remaining arrows and stand at that same window that he had shot that one arrow and send a message to the Syrians that you're going to be defeated by shooting every arrow that he had in the quiver. Are you listening to me tonight? Look in verse 19. The Bible said that the man of God became angry with him, maybe because of the thoughtless or half-hearted way, oh, help me, Jesus, that Joash shot the arrows. In verse 18, the Bible said that he struck three times and stopped. Did you hear that? He struck three times and stopped. It could have been that Joash was just going through the motions, possibly doubting that this symbolic experience would produce any desirable results. You see what? When Joash only tapped the floor three times, it revealed his lack of faith. Now, I need you to understand, because maybe, just maybe, Elisha said, I'll do this, or Joash said, I'll do this, but nothing's going to happen. Half-hearted. Half-hearted. I'm going to preach because I'm going home, and you'd shout tomorrow night, but you know where I'm headed. How many times have we come in the house of God on any given Sunday morning, and the Lord's put arrows of deliverance in our hand? Arrows of victory. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost over the enemy in our hand. And we come in half-hearted. Well, that pastor ought to be glad I'm here today, because I tell you right now, I could have just stayed home for a little bit. Boy, it got quiet in this house then, didn't it? He better shake my hand and smile, because if he knew how I felt, I wouldn't even showed up today. Besides that, I'm out of peanut butter. And everybody knows that's a good excuse. I was out of peanut butter. I got where I don't even call my folks when they're out of church. They're adults. They want to come, then come. Huh? I get tired of hearing their little penny ante excuses. My big toe was hurting. My God, I'm 54. I've had open heart surgery. I've had three bypasses. There's times I hurt all over. I hurt places, Brother Massey, I didn't even know I had. I've heard the old folks talk about that. I said, oh, that can't be true. Dear God, I'm about to get to Revelation. It's true. Are you hearing me? I'm going to be through in a minute. I just want to bother you a few more minutes. So many times God puts arrows of deliverance in our hand. We just come and sit in our same seat we sat in last Sunday. Oh, they just going to sing the same songs. And preacher's just going to preach. We're going to get out of here, I hope, at 12.
because I got a chicken in the crock pot. Got a roast in the oven. Pentecostal people never should put chickens in crock pots or roast in the oven on Sunday, because God just might show up. Huh? Can't you see old Joash? I wish I'd have brought my bow and my arrows. Y'all would have been in trouble. Can't you see Joash? Just going, one, two, three. Now what? Sometimes we come up here, man of God anoints us and prays over us. We pray a little bit and then we look at it. Aren't you glad I'm going home tonight? Now what? Maybe he was half-hearted. Can I tell you it's time to get serious with this thing? God's put arrows of deliverance in our hands. We're sitting on pews, anointed pews. We're in the house of God. Huh? We're in a place where God can move. There's faith in this house. Hates people that've seen God move and know that God's more than able to move. We don't need to come in here half-heartedly and just put our arrows three times on the ground. But we need to come to realize that our lack of faith will not get us anywhere. But the Bible said that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be removed, and it shall be cast into yonder hence. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But them that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. I want to tell you what you need to bring in here. You need to bring arrows of faith. God, I don't know what you're going to do today, but I believe you're still the God of miracles. I believe somebody is going to get touched in our service today. Oh God. You see, the prophet Elisha knew this was symbolic of what God was going to do. Watch this. The actions of Joash determined the depth of his victory. You see, there are times when what we do is symbolic. It's a representation of what we are expecting for our lives. Listen to me. There are times that our praise and worship is symbolic. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. Ah, they're not singing my song, but they don't have to sing my song. I'm going to praise Him anyway. There's sometimes our prayer is symbolic. I don't know when the answer's coming, but I know the answer's on the way. Oh, yeah. Sometimes our giving is symbolic. I don't know how God is going to provide. I just know that He's going to supply all of my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You see, Joash is the picture of missed opportunities. What happens in missed opportunities? Number one, it results in partial victory. I don't get everything I need. It's not partial victory I come here after. It's victory way down deep in the recesses of my soul. It's revival that I came after. Oh, yeah. It's the fire of the Spirit that I came after. Second of all, missed opportunities results in low expectations. He did not expect that he would conquer completely. Verse 25 declares that Syria was only defeated three times. It's results of low expectation. God, I need 30 minutes there, and I don't have it. Number three, missed opportunities result in not using what God has placed in your hands. Can I just say something right there? And I'll quit. I didn't say I was through. I just said I'd quit. Don't depend on a man to bring your move. God will put in your hands. I said God will put in your hands the arrows of victory. Verse 19, the prophet said, if you would have struck Syria with all of these arrows, you would have destroyed it. He would have experienced the destruction of his enemies. Can I just tell you tonight, expect great things from God. Come on, did anybody hear me? Come into this church. I said come into this church with an expectation. God's going to do something in this house. I didn't drive an hour and 45 minutes. Are you hearing me? I didn't drive down here just to go through a formality. I got in my automobile. Amen. I put on my good suit for you folks. Are you listening? I fixed my hair just for, well, not just for you. My hair fixed all the time. Well, not all the time, but sometimes. Amen. I mean, I dressed up good for you. I didn't come here to go through a formality. Your pastor said, do you still know how to have church? I said, I know a little bit about it. Amen. But I'm here to tell you, I've come to the place to understand. You can't move folks that don't want to be moved. But you give me somebody that says, I got arrows in my hand. And I'm not here to tap them three times. I'm not here to go through some little partial worship service. But I've come with a quiver of arrows. And I'm going to beat them arrows on the floor because I've got an enemy that's going to be defeated. Oh, God, I feel him. I've got an enemy that's going to be defeated by the power of God. I want to say it again. Expect great things from God, and you will feel his power. Huh? I said you'll feel his power. You'll know your enemy can be defeated to the point that you'll never have to deal with him again. Huh? Here's point number three. It comes down to your opportunity. Joash took a golden opportunity and turned it into a lost opportunity because of a lack of faith. There's too much of the spirit of Joash that exists in the church. Not necessarily that we're living in wickedness and sin, but so often we share the lack of faith that Joash expressed in front of Elisha. I need you to hear me. Every person in this building has the opportunity to turn things around. Every person in this building has the opportunity to experience a move of God in this building. Somebody has arrows of deliverance in your hand. God's ready for you to declare war on your enemy. God's ready for you to defeat your enemy. And I'm going to say it again because I still don't know if you've got it. To the point that you'll never have to deal with that enemy again. God, does anybody hear what I'm saying? Huh? Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to say it again because I just felt a streak of glory run through me. I said, God's put arrows of deliverance in your hand that if you'll use them, you'll never, everybody shout never. Come on, shout never. You'll never have to deal with that enemy again. I know there'll be other enemies, but I'm talking about that enemy. Some of you have been dealing with some things. Some of you have been going through some places. You're wondering, is there really deliverance? Is there really victory? Is there really a revival that I can get in, that God can move? I'm here to tell you it's here tonight. I said it's here tonight. You don't need to call another 1-800 number. Help me, Jesus. You don't need to call 1-800 psychic and see if they can help you out. It's all right to call and get people to pray for you. But I'm telling you, we've got enough word in our lives, enough word in this church. Are you listening? You're going to get more word, and it's going to be great word. Is anybody in this house? But you have arrows of deliverance. It's time for somebody to say tonight, I'm not missing my opportunity. This is my service. I'm going to defeat an enemy, and I'll never have to deal with him again. Somebody, everybody, get on your feet. Stand with me tonight. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, come on, we can do better. I challenge you tonight. I challenge you to stretch your faith. Because God is able to do more than you can ever imagine. God's able to do more than you can ever, ever even comprehend in the depths of your spirit. I challenge you in this church, and I challenge you as an individual. Don't miss your opportunity. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Don't miss your opportunity. Father, I love you. You're the God of opportunities. You're the God that puts arrows of deliverance in our hands. Oh, hallelujah. You're the God that sets us in the right place at the right time. You're the God that speaks to us and says, this is your moment. Father, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, from the front of this building to the back, on every pew in this church tonight, I pray that not one person will miss their opportunity tonight for what they have need of. Lord, if it's physical, by His stripes, we were healed. Somebody can be healed in this house tonight. Lord, if they're struggling, they're fighting a battle, their situations at home, if they're cold, indifferent, fire of the Spirit, it's not flowing, moving in their life like they have once experienced. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that that person, those in this house, will not miss their opportunity. Father, I pray that if the fire of the Holy Spirit is not burning as bright as it once was, God, that tonight they'll not miss their opportunity. For you've given us arrows of deliverance. And I declare in the name of Jesus, I declare by the power of the blood of Jesus, I declare enemies, God, enemies against this church, enemies against individuals, enemies, I declare them defeated tonight. Father, we serve notice on the devil tonight that this is our night of opportunity, revival, camp meeting is going to break out in this house. God, we're not going to be the same by the time you get through with us Wednesday night. This is our opportunity. Woo! In the name of Jesus.